Hey, Live It Up fam, welcome back to another episode on our Live It Up journey. Guys, today I am ecstatic because we have a collaboration with a good friend of mine. It's called Gideon, and we decided on, you know, discussing more on the topic of being born again. I know, you know, yesterday was Sunday and people went to church and stuff like that. But we've gotten to the fifth month of the year, almost to the sixth month, and with all our success and motivation going on, we still need to be successful in every area of our lives. So today we're talking about being born again, what it means, how it feels. Like, he's going to share a bit of his testimony. So I did get a chance to interview him, so what you guys are going to hear is an interview that I had with him some days back. So you guys should stay tuned. Remember to share this episode with a lot of your friends and family. You know, being born again is quite important. From your girl Flo J, remember to hit me up on all my socials, on Instagram at @itsflo_j, on my Twitter at @itsflo_j. You can check me out on TikTok as well at @itsflo_j. Like our Facebook page, Live It Up with Flo J, and let's just get to it. You know, I'd like to hear from you. You can also like the Live It Up page on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram, the Live It Up page, that is, where that is Live It Up with _FloJ. So guys, anyway, tune in. This is like really good stuff. I'm not going to talk more or much. I need you guys to hear this. Yes, so stay tuned. Love you guys. Stay blessed and remember to live it up.
Hey guys, all right, we are here with Gideon.
We are here with us too,
but we are we. Okay, I am here. He wants to correct my English. Yeah, I was the one born in Britain. Anyway. Yeah, today we're talking about being born again and what he's learned, how he's living, what he has for us, you know, to learn and stuff. So, just basically being born again and its ish that comes with it. So, introduce yourself, Gideon. Hi, Gideon. Say hi to the Live It Up fam.
Say hi to
Live It Up fam.
Oh, that's a podcast.
He's being silly right now. Yeah. So, say hello.
Hi, hello.
So, what do you do?
I do school.
Sounds interesting. Alright, so, gospel. We're talking about being born again, and let us start with this. Are you born again?
Am I born again? The honest answer is, I don't know if I'm born again.
Yeah. Is it that you don't understand what being born again is, or you haven't done the whole...
Kind of. When do you say you are born again?
Alright, so, to my knowledge, being born again is when you personally accept that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord and personal Savior, that He died for you and rose on, He died for you and rose on the third day. Stop it. Rose on the third day for your sins, so that you live again. That is my understanding about being born again.
He died for you.
Yes.
Everyone knows that He died.
But have you accepted that He died for you?
Whether I accept it or not, He died.
That's not being born again. It's believing that Christ died for me, and when He was risen, or when He arose, I left my old man behind me, and now I choose to follow Him in His new life.
You left the old what?
My old man. As in the old me, as Romans puts it, put off the old man. And you decided to follow Him, or you decide to follow Him and live a life that is Christ-like, that is being born again.
Left the old man behind you.
Not your dad.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
But like, it's the same you. Do you change afterwards?
Do you change afterwards? You're supposed to.
Not attitude-wise, no. Character-wise, but old man. Do you change, like... Oh, she's no more Flora. She was a girl before, now she's a guy.
No, it's more character wise.
Okay. So what are, like, them things you do before that after being born again you don't do? Oh, I ate banku before when I gave my life to Christ, and now do kinky.
No, character wise, we're talking your lifestyle. Maybe, you know, when you read the Bible, there are certain things that are sin, there are certain things that are not right and stuff. I mean, we are man, we're human beings, there are certain things we'll still do, but the fact that you're conscious of this fact that I'm a sinner, maybe I like stealing, I like blaspheming, I do this, and this. Yeah, it's an example. You like stealing and all that kind of stuff. Then you give your life to Christ, you become born again. Then that's you choosing that, okay, yes, I used to steal, but now I am letting go of this. I'm trying to live.
So, I forgot what I was about to say.
Uh-huh.
You used to steal.
Yeah.
If you look at it, everyone has his own doctrine, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Things you feel like, this is, I'm living the Bible like life. Mm-hmm. Someone can tell you you're wrong.
Sure.
So, do you, in that point, do you listen to them, or if you listen to them, are you being born again, or you're like in between? So what do you do? You stick to your doctrine, which they may be right, you may be wrong, you may be right, they may be wrong.
Yeah.
So are we really born again if we are believing different things?
All right, that's a very interesting question. Sorry, because there are some people, I personally sit there and I go, that does not seem right. But as I said, it's accepting Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. You've got your own Bible. You read it. What you believe that is right, you do it. You can't really tell if maybe these group of people are doing it the right way or this person is doing it the right. You really wouldn't know till Judgment Day. But you do it based on what you are. Once you continue to build that relationship, you get to talk to God. You commune with Him more often. And He gets to give you that discernment. So within you, you'd be guided by God Himself on certain things that may seem very controversial or dicey.
Okay, you said you have your Bible.
Yes.
You read your Bible. You believe what you see. You believe what you believe. So I've like had spoken to some people, and they are like, if I can read my Bible and I understand, so why church?
I don't know if you've read this part of the Bible that says two heads are better than one.
Yeah.
Yes. We go to church not because it's fancy or because it's mandatory for you to get marks into heaven.
Make it seem mandatory.
No, you need the fellowship. When you are down, Gideon, and you're depressed, you're emotionally down, you're financially down, you're spiritually down, you need someone to come and lift you up. Two heads are better than one. For us, iron sharpeneth iron. If you're down, I can sharpen you up. When I'm down, you can sharpen me up. Not like that. It's more of like a support system for Christians. God knows very well that Christians or man need support. Even the non-believers have a support system. When they come out of the war, they become civilians, they are veterans, they come out of maybe addictions they had, they always fall into a support group. That's something just to keep them on track. So this church is supposed to keep us on track instead of pushing people away. Now, the problem with people being born again is people always look at born again as some strict lifestyle, so judgy and stuff. They forget you can't live it up. You can't live up to you can't live up to your full potential because, oh my God, I can't eat pork. Oh my God, I can't talk to this person. I can't live like I want to live because I'm being born again. But here's the thing. When Christ came, He didn't come for the righteous. He came for the unrighteous. I like to use this example all the time. I know my family would agree. The illustration of when the prostitute, that's Mary Magdalene, came to Jesus. They brought her to Jesus and they said that we caught her in adultery, and they expected Jesus, being Son of Man, God, to judge her and say, okay, or off with her head, continue stoning her, because in the days that's how you're supposed to punish adulterers. And he didn't say anything. He just said that if you know you haven't sinned, cast your first stone. Just cast the stone. You should be first to cast the stone. And nobody did, because everyone knows man is sinful. I'm giving this example because when we come to church, you start by judging the person's appearance. Oh my God, have you seen the dress this lady came? Sometimes, yeah, the dressing is oof. But you can't be judging. Who are you, excuse me to say, to judge someone's dressing, someone's hairstyle, someone came to church and they've got tattoos? Maybe in their past life they weren't living they weren't living good lives. Maybe that's something. Maybe for them tattoos being significant in a different way. As you said, everyone's got their own beliefs to being born again. And that's what makes people think being born again is hard, because everyone keeps judging you. They don't give you that free will. God gives you free will, but man wants to sit on you and judge. So what's your take on that?
That's my take on that. I feel like it's something that will be hard to stop, because we are humans. We'll continue being humans. Mm-hmm. You come to church, as you said, would always be judgmental, regardless whatever you do. So what I think is, I actually don't know, because it's something that has been there. Mm-hmm. Even pastors make the same mistake. Mm-hmm. Everyone does that. Mm-hmm. So it's now like it's hard to go to invite someone to church. Reasons they'll give you, be like, nah, I really have to leave this person.
Yeah.
So sometimes just let them be. Mm-hmm. At the end, they'll see for themselves. Most times, what I feel, God knows how he gets to people. You've been spoken to, do this. You said, nah, because of things happening, you don't do it. God has seen, maybe, as yourself, let me use you, you're trying to be a guy, let's say. So he has seen, you don't appreciate being a lady.
Mm-hmm.
No offense. You don't appreciate being a lady. He can do something that, like, damn, so this is what guys really go through.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, nah, I don't want to. So you have to stick. Sometimes, yeah, it's like compulsory, but not necessarily compulsory. You just have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So be on the safe side. So that's what I feel.
Alright, so with my explanation on being born again, do you think you are born again?
Maybe.
You don't remember when you gave your life to Christ, like you came, there was an altar call, and then you confessed that God, Christ is your Lord and personal Savior.
So, I have a question here. You went out for altar call. You know, they still, like, do it always.
Yeah.
Is it that after being born again, I won't say you don't sin, because we all do sin.
Sure.
So, what lifestyle do you not go back to after you say you're born again?
The old lifestyle. Maybe you were drinking, maybe you were smoking, maybe you were found in every woman's closet.
Is it drinking? Not everyone believes it's a sin.
Being a drunkard.
Still.
It's not being a sin, so to say. Being a better person. Because how are you going to be able to preach the gospel if you're drunk? You get it?
You know, how are you able to preach it? Easy way to get to people is to reach them the way they are.
So you want to
be drunk as to Christ.
You have to drink. I see. Is that okay? Okay.
I'm just saying, but like, is that really the thing?
It's not like you need to live like them to be them. When they say that you shouldn't be consumed so much by the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, it's how you see things in the world. You see yourself as, okay, being born again is this. at first you were thinking, oh my God, this world is mine, this is my place and stuff. But when you're born again, you think, I'm just transiting here. I'm here for a purpose, to serve and this to leave. You see things in a different way, not to see that you belong of this world. You get it?
Well, if things happen, we all know we're not of the world.
I think everyone has figured that out now. But then who do you believe? Is a God or some other foreign?
So how do you make... You know, people don't believe in hell. Some people don't believe in hell. People like that, how do you make them see or believe there is one
heaven or hell? It's a very tough question. All right, for people like that, I don't really know how you're going to prove to them unless God himself come in. Well, he is Trinity, so God himself comes in, because I know a ton of people that say, like, you know what's going on in the world now. Today I was watching a video of
today
a video of an 18-year-old boy.
Oh, afternoon.
It was someone's status.
At when? What time?
I don't know the time.
Like during the like sleep hour, like the day.
No, when I was getting ready, preparing and stuff. Yeah. All right, so I was looking at someone's status, and it was an 18-year-old boy that went about a store and he shot everyone in the store with the motive that the blacks are now ruling. And I was thinking, someone like this, things like this are going on. Now we know here in Ghana there's this whole killing and stuff going on, people taking people's genitals and using them for money rituals and stuff. And I laugh now, but it's actually really sad, because I have a ton of videos people just keep sending me. I'm curious to understand why exactly it is. The only question that came to mind is, God, are you watching all this?
Please.
And what's he doing? That's the question I had. I was like, God, can't you do something to these people so that they see what they're doing is wrong? Because you're just slaughtering human beings like it's meat. I now get why people even don't eat meat in the first place. It's ruthless. How do you cut someone live? The person is alive. She's alive. And you are cutting off her head. And it was really sad for me. And I was thinking, yo, someone's daughter, someone's wife, someone's crush. I swear, I've killed a chicken before,
yeah,
but I don't eat it. Someone's wanna?
Yeah.
You didn't just say that.
He has a mom, he has a dad.
I know. So I don't eat chicken I have killed. I don't eat chicken I know that was killed by people I know. Probably the ones in the freezer, but
frozen,
in the shop.
People killed it.
I know, but I didn't see it.
So you're together, you're in the same category.
No, but that's different. Human life is seen as a hierarchy, the top of the hierarchy of God's creation. And for us, this will sound insulting to some people, but for us to be on the top of the food chain, or for us to be on top of like God's creation and stuff, we seem to act very unwise. We do things that I feel like even animals wouldn't do. We do things, no, just like animals, because animals at some point be cannibals. Yeah, they be eating themselves when it's like really hungry. Sometimes it's not even about hunger, they just feel like eating the fellow animal.
Chopping yourself. You've been chopping yourself.
Touche, I'm Ghanaian, so it's obviously going to come out. It's not
you've
like
been chopping yourself.
Excuse Gideon, he's off.
when you're really hungry, you've been chopping yourself.
I'm Ghanaian, the terms are going to come out. Anyway, like, it's really sad. Something like this, if you tell a person that there's hell for wicked people like this, it's hard for them to believe it. Because they'll be like, if there's really hell, how come these people still do what they do? If there's really a God, how come there's still this evil that goes around? And excuse me to say, God says they're doing nothing. I say this, God is coming soon. Christ is coming soon. it's written in the Bible that in the end times all these things would happen. He gave it to us as clues. This is like Agatha Christie kind of movies or life we're living. He's given us clues to let us know of his coming. He hasn't given us a time and date, but he has at least given you clues to when he's coming. And you can't, I don't want to be the one to convince you that there is hell, but if there isn't really a hell, why is Satan doing what he's doing? Why does he want more people to go down with him? If there isn't really a hell, Satan shouldn't even be this much involved in even the youth, because the youth are the future for tomorrow, something like that, something of tomorrow. Kings and queens of tomorrow. You get what I'm trying to say. Yeah, why, if there isn't a hell, why does Satan really want to get people or followers, so to say? That's my question. If you don't believe there's a hell, why is Satan trying to get people to himself,
you know,
on his
I
side?
Don't really like blame God, because he has said it. This will happen. This is how it's gonna go down. We all know it, and we still do it. I read something online. The guy was like, "We have toys here. We have some that are precious to us, and we have some that are just there." So that's the way things should be. Like the ritual and stuff. He's watching. He has seen. That same devil, you feel he will give you everything you need. He will come back to take something precious from you. You've killed someone. Okay, fine. The criteria is for you to bring your mom. Everyone knows how special moms are to us. And in that kind of this thing, there's no turning back. You have to take your mom. And there's something I don't get about sin and hell. Regardless the amount of sin, so far as you sin, if you kill chicken now, I kill grasshopper, we're all going to hell. Mm-hmm. Why is it so? Okay, if my sin is so little, do I get like in hell like a duplex and you get like boy squatters or something?
Oh my god. Oh no, that cracked me up. Okay, so sin is sin. Mm. Whether small or big, there's no capacity to sin. It's not measured. The punishment you get as a man, a married man sleeping with another woman, adultery, is the same punishment you get with the with someone who stole sugar or someone who stole robbed a bank. It's on the same scale. Sin is sin.
Which is higher, if you had to weigh them?
Honestly, they're both high. Because you're both robbing of someone else. One is robbing emotionally, the other is robbing financially.
Well, I look at the bank, if you're caught, can be punished badly. But like, marriage is over, that's all. She'll cry, get over it, move on.
Really, though? This is emotional robbery.
Still, you get over it.
Financially, you can get over it and get more money.
The bank.
Yes.
This is not about them getting over it. You being caught.
But the man too was caught.
Mm. So which?
It's the same thing if you think about it. The same way someone killed someone today. I don't know. I feel like sin is sin. That's how it is for God. You can't say my sin is small, so I'm going to get a duplex or VVIP bus going to hell, and you sit in a local public transport kind of bus.
If sin is sin, then I feel, you know, in Christianity they say we have baby Christians, we have adolescent. Yeah. Like there are levels to Christianity. So if sin is sin, if I say I'm born again, I expect to start doing things that...
Yeah. It's not easy like that. You know the saying, old habits die hard. You are human. You're a human being. And for a while, you've been doing things in a certain type of way before you decide to now take up something entirely different, something you're new to. Taking up Christ and... maybe you're used to, a lady passes by, you stare at her boobs, you stare at her behind, you stare at everything. Her buttocks. You still have her buttocks and everything, and then you sit and go like, yo, this is great. But when you accept Christ, things like that will lead you to hell, because that's when you're arousing things that shouldn't be aroused. And you start thinking, you know the verse that says, a man who looks at a woman lustfully has slept with her. Yeah. That's when you now start sinning according to the Bible.
Sometimes, like, something that amazed me, you know, God, fine, I believe, I accept, why tempt me?
No temptation has overcome man, even that which is common to man. It's not him tempting you, so to say. That's your man nature.
I feel he's the one.
He's not the one. God doesn't tempt. Satan does. God gives trials. No. Yeah, sometimes he lets him, because...
Why let him? Why?
If God was to block every single temptation, would you live?
Yeah.
Would you? You would enjoy that? Maybe you should pray about it. His free will. You haven't asked him to guard you against all that.
But no, that's the thing. You've been born again. You've accepted him, so...
God is not going to force himself on you.
He doesn't. He won't.
Exactly.
I get that back. But, like, I have now... So why do this? You know, little thing, I will go back. And you know,
when?
Going back and coming forth again, it takes a very long time. And at the point we are now, we don't know when Christ is coming. Let's say you go back now, papa.
You've missed it. I know that. Okay, that's true. But you do know of the story in the Bible where Christ went to the mountains. Immediately he came out. Who tempted him? Satan. Exactly. Satan does the tempting. When he knows things are going to be good for you and you've chosen a side now, you no longer want to be with you, he really tries his best to bring you back to his side, to see, make you see that the path you're going is very strict. You're not going to have fun. So I want to show you that there's fun in the world. Come and join me. There's this temporary fun you're going to have in the world. You're going to have all the women, you're going to have all the men, all the money, the cars, the riches and all that kind of stuff. But the Bible says, woe to a man who, what profits a man rather, for him to give his soul out and then gain the entire world. You've gained the entire world. You've got the woman, you've got the money, you've got the guys. You're looking good. You've done your body. You're looking fine. You're really enjoying the world and all its prospects. You've really felt the world so, and you've forgotten God even exists, that God has been, like, God wants you. And you decide, yo, and then sadly you lose your life, and at that point I don't know what goes on between God and then the devil, but the devil has won at that point. God feels sad, all right, because he wishes you would have chosen him, but he can't force and say, yo, I want you to be mine and things. The devil forces.
I am God, come on.
God is a gentleman.
Come here gently. Hi, I'm God. Please come on.
That's what he does. We always don't heed it. He says he stands at the door and knock, and whoever opens, he would come in. You don't open. He's been knocking. He knocks on the door each and everyone's heart's been knocked at.
You do like this and the door will open itself. So why knock?
He's being kind. He's doing free will.
He's doing free will. He said he will come like a thief in the night.
Yes.
You can come at the thief. Then you expect.
Yes, if you allow him to work through you, coming as a thief will not bother you at all. I mean, he's coming exactly into this world. His whole birth was even coming as a thief, because Mary was not expecting it. He and Kasi, he's kind of sneaky. I think it's a spiritual thing. All these spiritual beings are sneaky, because when Satan wants to tempt you, he doesn't just come out, right? He sneaks it into you. He's like, do you see that girl over there? Do you see her chest? Do you see her backside? Do you... And...
So sad, I don't know, I can't relate.
I'm not going to mind you. Anyway, we'll have to start rounding it up. We're hitting 30 minutes. And I'd want you... And I want you to, like... Your experience as a Christian so far. Just go. I'm not going to ask you questions. What you've experienced. What you'd actually say to, like, young people. People like us. living in this current times with the temptations that you mentioned, how they're going to overcome it, how you overcome your certain temptations, and is it really worth it being born again?
Before I answer that, I have a question. Are there really restrictions to Christianity, like you being born again? Because I don't know a particular scripture, but he said these things are there for us. We are going to enjoy them. But you said I'm going to enjoy them. You don't want me to go clubbing and the rest of them. So why you say they are there for me? Why are they there if I can't enjoy it?
They are there if you get employed to a company, and they tell you that this is your company car, and you decide to go out with it and party with it, and you wreck the car, that's not on the company. That's on you.
It's the company car.
So?
Insurance.
Company. That, your partying had nothing to do with the company. You signed a contract.
You gave me a car. What do you expect? I should park it in the block.
For office work only.
It's office work.
Then you should have asked for permission. But still, if any damages come, the greater cost is on you and not on the company. Anyway, your experience being born again,
experience, I don't know, it has been rough actually, ups and downs. It's the same, today is going smoothly, then tomorrow, oh god, what is happening? Just have to keep believing and move on, as I always say. But for me, when I really started, it's like, actually works, he's real. Mm-hmm. It was
a couple of years back, I think 2016-17.
Before it happened, I was having like, oh no, it's my imagination. But like, it did happen. I was like, wow, I saw this. Mm-hmm. And I did not believe. Mm-hmm. From there, I was like, if you can really show me this, I feel like he has more. And he has been showing me things that I met you. I saw it.
You're being serious?
You wanting to be a guy. I saw it.
Oh, come on.
I did tell you. Uh-huh. See, now it has happened. You're not a guy. Uh-huh. For her listener, she's now a guy.
Oh, please.
For
don't
his
mind.
Listener, she, his listener, she's not a guy.
He's not being serious, yeah?
So, if temptations will be there, yeah? It's a rough, he said the road is narrow. Mm-hmm. So you are going through a narrow path. What do you expect? Mm-hmm. Everything is not bread and butter. Sometimes you have to take banquet, which is sour. It's not nice. You just have to keep believing. See, love is blind. Following God is blind. You don't know the next step. You just go ahead. Well, for you overcoming temptations, I don't know if I overcome them or I'm scared, because I've had some experiences I am so scared to do, like to have again. I like to say, like in relationships, I've not really had fair listening. So for now, I don't think I'll be going into it anytime soon. That I don't know if it's fair or just avoid it. Just avoid it. That's how I say. Avoid them first.
Yeah. So, do you have any last encouraging things you want to share with anyone struggling with being born again, or anyone who's thinking of being born again but things it's a strict kind of lifestyle?
Whether it's strict or not, it will hit you. It will reach everybody, as they say. It will reach everybody. God knows W from A. He knows if you say next. He knows all those things. So. But that's true. If he knows, why stress me now?
Remember free will?
Still. You know, I'll get there. Just like tell me, oh, so the time you do this. I'll be like, yeah.
He wants you to now feel it for yourself. Experience the fact that I need you. That's the point he's trying to get all of us to.
How I feel it. Because Christians go through things like, I'm a Christian. I've been faithful to you, God. What is happening? let's say like the gospel artist that died. Mm-hmm. Why did she die? Why?
It is appointed for man to die once and then judgment. Maybe it was her time.
Was it?
Maybe things came into play and things were cut short. Sometimes God allows certain things to happen so that other things can also happen. Mm. Maybe her death like this would have caused a shift, yeah, a shift in our generation.
But still, some things that happen. You'd have doubts.
Yeah.
There. You'd have doubts. But just believe. It's all about your belief. People will change, make you change your mind, but you believe. Women will make you change your mind. Guys won't. We don't force it. Yeah. If you don't want to, fine, sister. Mm-hmm. You're on your own. It's your life. Live it. They say live it up, live it up.
I like that. Yeah.
How is it?
Yeah. Do you have any last words you want to share with anyone?
Last words? No, I'm not sure.
Alright, so guys, you've heard it from Gideon. He's given us very insightful questions. So
we have a lot of questions.
we'll have him again. We'll probably have to do another collabo with him. If you do have more questions on this, collabo. I know. Collaboration with him. It's still the same word.
Still.
If you want to hear more on our views and stuff, do reach out to us on our socials. I think you give his socials. Maybe you can ask him more questions. Please, yes, your socials.
Did I charge, yeah? The question I charge, okay, I'm in Ghana, so I'm managing their currency.
Really?
Let's say, yeah, I'm managing your currency. Let's say 1,000 cedis would do.
So you're not going to give out your handle? Instagram.
My handle? Mm-hmm. It's my number, really.
Oh, serious?
MTN, uh-huh. Soon to be blocked. 02401499154.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram. My Instagram. I think I have an account. Gideon Gospel or Gospel Gideon? I don't know how it goes, but
it's Gideon Gospel.
It's good. Oh, yeah. You know, Gideon Gospel is there. But I prefer WhatsApp, so don't WhatsApp me before the number gets blocked. So,
alright, guys, that's Gideon, and you can check him out when I do share this on our Live It Up page and on my personal account. I'll tag him in, and then you can reach out to him as well and follow him up, guys. So anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. It's been a very eventful, very inspiring, very educational episode today, and I'm so happy we got to talk on this. It's
late.
I know it's late, but it's normal.
The guest.
It's normal. Yes, I'm a lady.
Go away.
Yes, anyway, from your girl Flo J, remember to tune in for our next episodes and stay blessed. Remember to live it up.
Love y'all. Peace. Bye.
You should really learn to sound more.